Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Jen calling from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Sorry about the delay, Michael. We had a little technical difficulty there, huh?
We're all good.
Yeah, it's all
We're
good.
We're all good now. A little awareness practice.
A little calling back in always does the trick. So we have two great guests with us today, both folks who are part of the Southeast Sangha, which is one of the longest-standing sanghas that we have in our practice. I'll start by introducing Chris from North Carolina. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Hi, Jen and Michael.
I think that really since the very beginning, Sherry's been doing retreats in North Carolina. You guys were some of the very first folks to jump on board, I think, yeah?
You know, that's really true. I came to my first retreat, I believe, this is going to date me here, so...
You were 5 years old at the time, right?
I was five at the time, so you do the math from there.
Yeah.
In 1986 at the Southern Dharma Retreat Center, and I believe it was the first retreat that Sherry came to there as well.
Wow.
But I wasn't the only one there.
Yeah.
There were some other people that are still practicing with us that were there.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the really neat things about the group in the Southeast is there's so many practitioners who have been with us for so many years. So
yep.
I'd like to also welcome Ramita, who's joining us from South Carolina.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. Hi, Chris.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, Ramita.
Hello.
So,
go ahead,
Ramita.
I was just going to say, my first retreat was at Southern Dharma, too, in 1991, I think. I stumbled on a precepts retreat, and I've been hooked ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. So long ago. And so one of the things that has happened in the Southeast is that there's a group of folks like Chris and Ramita who have been practicing for a really, really long time, and they're now facilitators themselves and training to be facilitators. And I guess it was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago where you folks got together and realized we really want to kind of deepen our service to the practice and to the monastery in particular. You know, we've got this headquarters out here in California, and that you folks really started to be a stronghold there on the East Coast and really wanting to give back and to contribute to practice. And one of the things that you've done is begin to financially support the practice in a very significant way. And the reason we have you on tonight is to talk about one of the ways that you're currently doing that that's really quite fun. So I thought I would invite you, Ramita, to tell us about the current project you have underway to raise money for the monastery.
Okay, you may have noticed a new item available on the Sangha Marketplace titled Chitenge Aprons. One of our group started looking into ways, you know, financially supporting the monastery, and came up with this brilliant idea of buying aprons from the sewing cooperative in Indola, having them shipped through the monastery here to us in the Southeast. We sell them through the Sangha Marketplace, and the monastery then benefits from those sales because a portion of each, of course, is donated back to the monastery, back to Living Compassion. So it's really a win-win-win. The sewing cooperative gets business, and Sangha Market and Living Compassion gets business, and we get to practice together and have a real Sangha experience ourselves.
Yeah, as you were describing it, Ramita, that's exactly what I was thinking. God, what's the exponential version of win-win, because it truly is. Every part of practice benefits within it. It's just such a fabulous idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're working out kinks as we go. You know, we've got one of us managing the shipping piece and one of us managing the finances and one of us working on updating the website and someone else coaching for all of those small pieces and everything that goes in between.
Yeah.
And it's been quite remarkable.
Yeah. So I want to invite you, Chris, also to speak to it and just maybe say a little bit about your experience of why you guys decided to go in this direction and kind of what it's been like as you've been undertaking these endeavors.
Well, when we first got together, like you said, one of the things that we wanted to do was support each other in our practices and then give back to the monastery, so support the monastery in whatever ways that we could. And so we ran through a number of different ideas until we hit upon this apron idea. And when we did, it really just seemed like everything was lining up in the terms that you guys are both talking about it, that you know, I have this image of the aprons going out into the world like the teachings.
Kind of
just being disseminated out there in all these different directions and doing little bits of good all over the place. So really pretty terrific. And so it really was one of those kinds of ideas that seems like whose time had come. You know, it just kind of happened at the right time in the right place. And the sewing cooperative had the time to make these aprons and get them back to us. And, you know, we scrambled to get our storefront up on Sangha Market so that we'd be available for Christmas time for those that want to send something like this out to folks that they know.
Yeah, the timing was actually quite perfect. So we had a team that just got back from being in Cantalumba just last month, and they brought all the aprons with them, packed in their suitcase. What was it, 100, I think, you guys?
That's right.
So you guys probably haven't even gotten to see them in person yet, because I think we sent them off to someone in Virginia. One of your cohorts in Virginia is doing all the shipping and that sort of thing. But I can attest, they are beautiful, all different colors and different fabrics, and the ties, the straps are different from the pockets or different from the main chitenge on the whole thing. It's just, they're really, really fun and colorful, and I highly recommend them as a Christmas gift or New Year's or whatever you're giving gifts for.
And I think there's a really great picture of the Africa team wearing them on the Africa blog, which is really terrific to check out. It's a funny picture. And then I'm not sure, Ramita, is there a picture on the Sangha Market too that people can look at with the aprons?
Yes, there's one picture of two from the sewing cooperative displaying the apron. And then if you look at the second photo, you'll see some familiar faces modeling them.
that's a picture worth looking up for sure.
Not to be missed.
Not to be missed. So, and you know, just our deepest gratitude for all of you for all you're doing. You know, again, supporting the cooperative in Cantalumba, supporting the monastery, supporting practice for yourselves, and thereby for the entire Sangha. It's really, as Ramita said, a win-win-win in so many ways. So, anything else either of you wants to add before we turn it over to Michael and Sherry?
I guess from my perspective, it's really been grand, just this kind of doing like this to do something that's most compassionate for all, you know, with compassion as the primary objective here with everything that we do and ending suffering. So it's just extraordinary.
It's the centerpiece of everything we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. Well, thank you both for being with us tonight.
Look for the aprons
on Sangha Market. I'm looking at the picture right now. let's see. It's Nellie and I think it's Ethel holding the apron, two of the gals in Cantalumba who sewed them. So look it up. Well worth buying. Thanks to both of you. Good night.
All right. Thank you, too. Good night.
I'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. I'm
excellent.
Great. I see just a little bit of light in the sky on this, the shortest day of the year.
Yes, yes. Things are looking up from today forward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm complete with winter.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems like things are always looking up when I'm centered.
Well, there is that. Yes.
I have a couple of announcements, Sherry.
All right.
You'll be in Santa Barbara on Friday and Saturday, January 7th and 8th in the new year.
That is correct.
And then on Sunday, January 16th, Best Year Yet workshop, yet again in Mountain View.
So exciting.
So exciting.
Cannot wait.
Me too. Me too. And I'd like to remind our callers that if they can keep their conversations to 5 to 10 minutes, that's really helpful, and keep it to one topic. Shall we begin?
Let's begin.
Okay. first caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
Yes, hi. Hi, guys. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi.
How are you?
Very good.
Good.
Very good.
What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to check in, really. I haven't read your new book yet, but I've been hearing all about it on the archives on the show.
Uh-huh.
I've been having the experience a lot of going back and forth from what you call the dark room to the light room.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, I suppose my experience is managing that process, because I don't necessarily know how to find the exit door all the time, you know, with the dark room.
Yes.
And just like doing things like when I realize that's where I am, I sometimes switch off my phone, you know, things like that. So I don't make any decisions while I'm there.
It's not just Mercury is retrograde. I'm retrograde. So
right.
I need not to make any big decisions during this time.
Yeah, it's interesting to have awareness. You know, that's the thing that I'm really enjoying, because I think when I first started, I hated being in that conditioned state.
Yes.
You know?
Well, actually, you know, technically, conditioning claims to hate being in that conditioned place.
Yeah. But now it's more, I mean, it's not very pleasant, you know, walking along or driving along and having conditioning feed you a load of negative observations.
Yes.
It's not something that I kind of, it's not top of my to-do list to spend 3 or 4 hours a day in that state, but it's not as bad as it used to be, and it's hard. I can't fully explain why, but it's not as bad as it used to be. And
now, when you say it's not as bad, do you mean the state itself? You don't spend as much time in the dark room. It's not as bad being there. You're more aware of it. What do you have a sense of what the difference is?
I don't think it's as believable. I mean, to just make it more real. I mean, I was shopping for Christmas presents today, and I couldn't think of anything for a couple of people, and conditioning started telling me why, because of what these people are like. And, you know, I don't know why you're buying presents for them anyway. Why do you have them in your life? And I was walking around the store just smiling to myself, thinking, well, that's your opinion. You know,
why do I have you in my life? Is the
right,
real question.
That's conditioning's opinion. You know, and
uh-huh.
I was just thinking, well, you know, I don't agree with you. You know, you're talking and I'm listening, but you know, you're not going to change. I don't buy it. You know.
So you're really approaching it as if it's a real, actual person that you're in a conversation with, and it can have its opinion, but that's not your opinion, and you're going to go ahead and it's your money, so you'll spend it on whomever you choose, and like that.
Yeah, I guess that's the stage that I've got to, and I think that's pretty good. You know, I'm kind of pleased with that.
Uh-huh.
Because it took me a long time to accept that I wasn't going to get this thing kind of wrestled to the ground, and it wasn't going to be a battle with this kind of big victory, and it was going to be a lot subtler than that.
Uh-huh.
And I resented that for ages. I remember calling you and saying, like, this is a really not a good deal, Sherry. I want something better than this. And now I'm kind of rolling with it a lot better.
Well, and again, you know, it's even though it's hard for us to imagine because it feels so much like me when it's going on, that's egocentric karmic conditioning claiming to really dislike it. You know, awareness doesn't dislike it. Awareness isn't arguing against conditioning's existence. It's only ever conditioning that is arguing, you know, even about conditioning, claiming to dislike it. It's, you know, it's always conditioned mind that's operating in that dualistic way. I want this, I don't want that.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to be able to just step back and watch it do what it does without needing to take it on or take it personally or believe it or anything else is huge, because, you know, that's the first giant step toward why give it any attention at all.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I, you know, it's, it does have an opinion and an observation about absolutely everything, and that's kind of
everything.
You know, it's like part of the awareness, part of the work of awareness is kind of, you kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm taking a step up this mountain, and then it's just kind of like you look out at the view and you think, like, you know, it's not just talking about, you know, my, you know, how I look and my job and my family. It's kind of, it's talking about, like, just, it's endless, like, opinions, and you're kind of, you know, there really is a lot to step back from, you know.
Yes, yes. Although, you know, again, when you watch it for a while, you realize that it doesn't actually mean any of it. You know, if you, you're going along and you're looking for Christmas presents for this person, and the voice says, you know, why are you even doing that? Why do you have that? And if you said, yeah, you're right. I think I'm not going to, I'm not going to buy. It, immediately it would go to, well, that's, and what are they going to say? I mean, you've always bought a present. So what are they going to say when you, so it's really just, whatever is going on, it's going to pick some opinion to have to get something going and keep something going.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun to notice.
Yeah, and I think it reveals the much more fascinating question of, like, well, who am I in this world? Like, how do I want to be now?
Yes.
You know?
Which are
that,
two, of course, two very different questions.
Yeah.
Right? Who am I is the fundamental question of Zen. And then how do I want to be is an interesting, very different question. Yeah.
I mean, I know that you've got this new show. I just wanted to ask you, new regime, should we call it, of shorter contributions. I just want to ask one more question. One thing that I do struggle with from time to time, more than anything else, is that I've got a kind of hangover from Christianity, where I suppose conditioning was fed. You know, because I went into Christianity in quite a vulnerable state, and it was a very short walk from being accepted to being told that my sexuality had to change, or it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to be acceptable to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that now that I've got into the awareness practice more, I get attacked with the idea that I'm in hell, or that I'm going to hell, or that I've picked the wrong course, the wrong spiritual practice, because I won't face this issue. I get attacked with that a lot, and it's really tricky sometimes to say, I don't believe that.
Here's the deal. Self-hate will come after you with whatever you'll believe,
right,
whatever you'll buy into. So if your sexuality is an issue for you, of course it's going to use that. If for somebody else it's money, then it's going to use that. If it's for somebody else it's health, it's going to use that. So it's very specific to the person that it's attacking. You know, that's no more real issue than any other issue. It's just that's the one that will hook you.
So do you think it's a question of continuing down the path, continuing to work with it, and maybe in a couple of years or 6 months, I'll look at it and I'll think, it's fallen away now.
here's the deal. My first encouragement is to read the new book and start doing the work in it.
Yep.
Because I think you're going to find a profound difference for yourself in doing that work. And then you'll be calling me to tell me what you're seeing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, of course, for me, my response to anything like that would simply be, well, that's nonsense. You don't know that. And I don't want to have this conversation, and so I'm going to turn my attention somewhere else. Thanks.
Well, that's what I'm like on a good day.
Yeah, well, that's the point of practice, to make all days good days.
Sure.
Yeah. So is it necessarily easy for us? No. But that just means it's not easy. That doesn't mean we can't do it, or we shouldn't do it, or we're doing it wrong, or anything else. It's just, you know, again, if I decide I want to be able to do 1,000 push-ups a day, it might take me a little while to build up to that.
Sure.
Doesn't mean it's a bad goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
You are very, very welcome.
And I wish you a very happy... Very happy holiday time. Happy Christmas.
Yes, very happy celebration of days getting longer. That's what this all primarily means to me. So thank you for that wish. Happy whatever it is for you.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, well, have a great show. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
And you know... speaking of all of that, there's supposed to be a complete, a total eclipse of the moon tonight, right? How would we know? We haven't seen the moon in forever.
Huh. I saw.
Speaking of
like
wintertime bitterness.
I saw what looked like a full moon last night.
Hmm. Huh. Not us. We don't see things like that.
That'll be our little assignment, to go outside tonight and look.
Well, we just see cloud cover. So maybe the whole thing looks like an eclipse of the moon. Has for a very long time. It's like how is that any different from every other night? So maybe it'll come out tonight. What happens with that? Do you know? Is the moon there and then it goes away and then a little while later you can see it again?
I confess to no knowledge on this subject.
Okay, well, I'll be Googling it as soon as the show is over. So.
And we have our next caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tammy from Toronto.
Hi there.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
All right. Sounds like there's more to that.
Well, yes, that's why I'm calling.
Okay.
I guess I've been struggling with depression for a number of years now, and it tends to hit around this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of see the start of it, and now I'm more conscious of the voices, but I don't know if it's helping. I'm just watching them tear me apart. And watching them tell me, oh, you know, don't sit there and stare at your computer or, you know, just watch TV all day. And then that's exactly what I do, so that they can say, oh, you're lazy, you're pathetic, you have no life.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I don't seem to have either the willpower or the willingness to actually fight them.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm guessing you've read the depression book.
Yes.
Okay, and so is it the encouragement to be physical in some way? That's what you run into. It's that getting up out of the chair and taking the first 10 steps?
Yeah.
Okay, and do you go to work?
Yes.
Okay, so you go to work, and then when you're not at work, that's when it's sitting in front of the TV or the computer?
Yeah, so it's weekends are the bad time. Like, I mean, work's not great in that I'm not concentrating well and whatnot, but, I mean, I get up and I go and I'm somewhat occupied all day, so it's more the weekends that are worse where I have I don't have to go anywhere, so.
And so let me ask you this. What are you interested in? Do you like children? Do you like animals? Do you like nature? Do you like?
I like nature. I like sports.
You like to play sports?
Yes.
What kind of sports?
Volleyball, mostly.
Okay, and can you do that? I guess inside somewhere.
Yeah, and I am. Tuesday nights I play volleyball, except I'm off for Christmas now. But.
Okay. And so what else do you like to do? Like, so for instance, here's where I'm going with this. If I knew that I did basically okay during the week when I'm required to go to work, but on weekends not so well because I'm not required to do anything, I would set it up to be required to do something on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So whether it's, you know, going and volunteering to take care of the animals at some facility or, you know, volunteering at a hospital, whatever it is that would be of interest to you, that's something that you would like to contribute to participate in, where you could see that your presence made a difference for people or creatures or, I mean, whoever it is. But you could see that that somebody was counting on you to show up to do whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah, anything like that come to mind?
Nothing off the top. Well, some things, yeah. I'd have to
coach volleyball at some neighborhood where kids might not have a chance to have somebody spend that kind of time with them and help them with their game.
Yeah, something like that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Because as my teacher famously said, you'll do for the love of others what you wouldn't be willing to do for yourself.
Yes.
And so it's having something that takes you out of yourself in that way. That says, yes, you can do it because those kids are counting on you or those animals need you or the whatever it is can sometimes be the very thing that sort of tips us over and gets us moving, gets us out of that stuck energy. Makes it more difficult for the voices to be believable. You know, mm-hmm. if I sit in front of the television set for 15 hours and the voice starts beating me up for sitting in front of the television set, it's pretty hard to argue with it.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you're actually contributing to something, it's going to help you. It's going to probably make a difference for something else, too. And then, again, it gives a little leg up for you against all of the stuff of the voices. I don't know. I haven't read the Depression book in years and years and years, but and so I don't know if I made this point in it, but it's not my experience that there's ever depression without self-hatred.
Yeah, I don't. They, yeah.
Yeah, they just go together. That's what depresses us. Having that twofold protection, can just be really, really helpful. And then, of course, at the end of every day, you have to have a depression party, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing with your work, if you're volunteering, but you're, you know, somewhere you're working on party plans for the evening. Very
yeah.
important.
And I don't even think I'm depressed yet. It's just, I feel like it's coming. Like I can see the warning signals.
That's the time to get started.
Yeah.
Because as you know, what happens is, oh my God, oh no.
Yes.
Oh no.
That's
oh
exactly
no.
what's happening.
Yeah. And so you can feel the system just shutting down. And so that's really the time to take the offensive and get proactive and start taking care of people, doing all of the things that are going to make a difference, because otherwise you know there's no choice but that slide into hell.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Okay.
I just had this little fantasy of starting a volleyball league for depressed people.
Hmm. That would be interesting.
Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, I really like depressed people, so, you know, I think it would be fun. You know, just that supporting one another to get up and get moving and be active and be physical and also have a chance to be around other people who really understand what it's like and what you're going through and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, it would be good.
Mm-hmm. See, you could start, first you do Canada, and then we could start chapters in the U.S.
All right, I'll get right on that.
You hop on that, but let us know how it goes, okay? Because I really want to support you in this.
Okay.
I can see it. I can see it happening.
All right, sounds
Dude,
good.
I was serious about to keep in touch, okay? Let me know how you're doing.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tammy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Peter. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Peter. Are you calling from China?
I usually am, but I'm home for the holidays. I'm calling from North Carolina, and my sister Bridget is standing aside of me. We're both listening.
Oh, very, very good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So the topic that we wanted to, I'm going to do the talking, but it's a topic that we both were looking at. And the topic is, so the situation is someone who's close to us that has an addiction and us wanting to help and then conditioning, noodling around in the middle between the two ideas of saying something and not saying something. And the way the conditioning usually plays or spins it off is saying something is, in a way, not accepting the situation and trying to change something. And usually would evoke, you know, some sort of a reaction out of the person. And then not saying something is like being irresponsible and not helping.
Uh-huh.
And kind of being caught in the middle of that, like wanting to do something but not really sure how to go about doing it. And mainly because the addiction is with alcohol and it's very subtle. So it's one of those things where the person may not really think they have an addiction, so to speak, and is good at trying to make it seem like that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and, yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And just, yeah, so basically, yeah, it's this kind of like, and we both share the, because the person is close to both of us, so we both share the same experience, kind of like, well, how do we handle it? Because, you know, we'll, my sister and I will actually, you know, like talk with each other and notice the situation. And I think the thing that becomes confusing, at least for me, is that it's kind of all based around projection, right? I mean, it's like me projecting on to the other person that they have some sort of an issue, which it also seems like a dangerous place to play, you know, when it's not, when it's coming from, I mean, who am I to say, you know what I mean? That kind of place.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And not really knowing where to go from there, basically.
Uh-huh.
But well, wanting to help, but wanting to help.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Uh-huh.
And that is this. So the notion is that it's kind of interfering, you know, who am I to say anything?
Right.
And yet, of course, we know that doesn't really hold water because who are we ever? And we interfere all the time. So that's not so much it. And then there's the, well, it's not accepting. I'm not accepting the person as they
are.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would imagine that kind of the argument against that is, well, but, you know, there's the person as they are, and then there's the person as they show up with this, as the result of this condition.
Exactly.
Right?
Like when, yeah, it's like, because when they are drinking and they are having that experience, then it's not really the person that I'm with anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the sense of coming from, they're coming from center because I know how they are when they aren't drinking and it's a different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is what occurred to me. How would it be to do the work that you each need to do to get to the place where it really is okay either way?
You mean okay either way as in
drink,
saying something or
don't
not
drink.
Saying something?
Drink, don't drink.
Uh-huh.
First, drink, don't drink.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you know, it's me and you two clearly have a problem with alcohol, and you're my kids, and so what you know, so there's all the stuff I get going, you know, I worry about your health, I worry about your safety,
right.
I don't really like to be in these conversations when I feel like I can't reach, you know, all the stuff that goes on with me. Can I get to the place where it's actually okay? You know, I don't mean a superficial place of okay. I mean doing the work so that we get it, that each and every person has their own karma. They have to work out their own salvation diligently. There's really only so much we can affect or influence. You know, I can look at it and say, you know, I really don't want you people telling me what to do or how to be. So I work through that. You know, I'm working through it. I'm working through it. I'm working through it. And I get to the place where it's perfectly fine. Drink, don't drink, perfectly fine. Then I will know whether or not I want to say something and what that will be.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And something, too, that occurred to me was sort of in the sense of an approach or a way to be was, I think I heard you mention something to someone at one time about I think the question was, how do I help my children when they're so young have the experience of awareness. And I think your response was that you have the best way to do it is to be that yourself.
Yeah.
And I know it's not directly with what you just said, but it's in a way I had the realization when I was processing through it myself, thinking like, well, how am I with my habits and my karma and my quote unquote addictions, you know, just because it may not be alcohol, it's my own whatever. And how am I with myself with that and kind of, you know, be with that, and how am I with myself? And then that's in a way how I would, you know, it may rub off when this person's around me, or it may not, but
I was just looking at something like that recently. I was in a situation where there were some people who were really having a lot of problems with what some other people were doing wrong. And, you know, could make really good cases for how they do this and they do that, and it's this way, and it's really having this impact on me, and I don't like it. And what I was looking at, the how subtle it gets. So I could watch that whole exchange and say, you know, the fact that they're doing that, the fact that they're pointing out what somebody else is doing wrong, is just really missing the point and not helpful.
Right.
And I could be doing that with what they were doing. So I can be, you know, so it's that mirror, 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 mirror thing.
Exactly. And I think that's what the confusing part for me is with the awareness practice in this situation, because I see that, what you just said, it's me pointing something else out to someone, which for me, in my own experience, never really does any good for anybody, including myself.
Yeah. But for us to use it as a way to get clearer about ourselves, and then, of course, you know, I'm way in the group that says, and there's no obligation. We have no obligation to be in any particular situation. So it may be that what I get to, and I don't, you know, I'm not suggesting this at all, but it can be that I get to a place where I'm really clear about what's going on. It's perfectly fine, and I don't want to be in this situation. And that's okay, too. So it's not a matter of getting really clear, and then you have to put yourself in whatever situation because you're okay with every situation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
being okay is you're okay. You can be there or not be there.
Right. And almost part of, like, because I was in the, we were in the email class and still doing it. And a part of the, I guess, about the voices and what, you know, almost like a record and listening sort of thing. It's like when the voices do or say this, you know, I'm going to. And one of the things, you know, that I was thinking about with this particular issue is, well, then, you know, if it were my own voices, you know, I just wouldn't necessarily put attention on it and may do something else or do something that supports not being with those voices and this form of conditioning. And so maybe I would remove myself from a particular situation or environment and give myself the environment that I want. And it's almost like what you, similar to what you were saying.
Because free is free. And sometimes, of course, conditioning, well, always conditioning, doesn't want us to really get that. That the idea is, okay, I've got to say, you know, in the holidays, I have to be just fine with the way everybody is, even though none of it would be my choice. I have to be fine with it, and I have to be there. Well, no, actually you don't.
Right. Yeah.
Free of conditioning is free of conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's easy to, for conditioning to kind of sprinkle dust over that and think like you have to be a part of, or I have to be a part of, you know, X, Y, Z, and it's like, well, no, actually.
Actually I don't.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure when I go back and listen to it, the radio show again, it'll solidify even more.
Yeah. Well, and as always, you know, keep us posted.
Yeah,
These are universal topics, especially at this time of year.
Yeah, and we'll see. I'm still home for a couple of weeks, so maybe we'll get the touch base
great.
Again before I go
great.
Back.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good to talk with you.
Yeah, and my sister here, Bridget, says thank you as well to you and Michael.
All right. Good night,
okay.
You too.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Peter and sister. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry.
It's kind of like making your way through a field of landmines.
Yes.
You know, because you go in this direction and conditioning says this, and then you go, you know, you move over to the side and it says this, and pretty soon it can get us so turned around and that we don't know which way to step.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, for me, that's one of the things that I love best about our practice is, yeah, there's whatever is going on. There's, you know, that's true. And it's for me, it's for my benefit. So I get to bring it back and look at how I am with that. What am I projecting there? What am I seeing, and how does that inform me about my conditioning? It's just the most helpful aspect of being with other people.
Yes, yes. As you both illuminated in the conversation, it was great.
Mm-hmm. And if we can remove the self-hate, of course, then it really is just a great workshop.
Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Andrea calling.
Howdy.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, doing a little stressed out right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching how conditioning has made me forget to do a lot of practice things. And amazingly enough, I remembered to call tonight.
But very good.
I've forgotten to do three things in the past 2 weeks. I forgot about phone calls for facilitator and for reflective listening calls, and just usually I don't do that. Usually I remember these things.
Uh huh. And it feels like it's stress that's doing it rather than just other stuff's going on?
Yeah, well, there's a lot. There's been a lot going on. What I'm being told is that, you know, I'm working full time. I'm trying to be a mother. I'm trying to, you know, work out. I'm trying to do the practice, and it's all too much and overwhelming. And then another part of content is that Johan and I are thinking about buying a house, and so it's just all together. And then just trying to bake some food for the holidays. It's just like everything all at once. It seems like it's all overwhelming.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, on a certain level, we have an expectation that we can do more than there are hours in the day to do.
That's how
and
I
that
feel.
We should be able to do that and enjoy ourselves in a really calm, relaxed, spacious sort of way. And it's kind of silly when you step back from it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe there's this, I guess I'm noticing two things coming in, the pseudo-Zen, which is kind of, you know, saying, oh, you know, they at the monastery they move from task to task and they drop it and they just move to the next task and, you know, you just need to drop the feeling of overwhelm and, you know, just move on to the next thing. And, you know, that it's possible to be in equanimity. You know, that's kind of...
Says the very voice that is making you stressful. Right?
Yeah, maybe it is. I mean...
Well, any voice that's telling you what you should be able to do...
Yeah.
You know what, the little pseudo Zen mentoring there.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I don't even know if I've been hearing the voice, but I think that's the belief assumption behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more like a belief, like a hidden belief, rather than a conversation. I think.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's true. Are you doing the work in the new book?
Well, I've been talked out of that as well. I have been making recordings. Actually, I have been doing that. And as a matter of fact, last week I actually took a mental health day off of work and made two or three recordings in my on my recorder of different processes.
Yeah, because if you are doing that, the odds are really good that you will not be as tired as you would be if you are just listening to voices beating you up all day long. So you probably can do more things in your day and enjoy them more,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, there is that element, but that's not the same as you should be able to have somebody telling you what you're doing wrong all the time and feel uplifted by it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I recorded a tape about urgency. And then I recorded a tape about you're not doing it right process. And they really do speak to me. And so, but, you know, of course, the process is always there. You know, it's underneath everything. And one thing I noticed is that there's this accountant who's coming in and saying, you know, you needed, basically saying how much time I devoted to work and saying, basically trying to tell me if that's good enough or not, you know, seeing that. Coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and so you just get those on your recordings, you listen to them, right? Because, of course, obviously, as you know, that's why there's so much energy put forth to get you not to practice, mm-hmm. Because then you do wind up in that place of overwhelmed and exhausted, which is what it's meant to accomplish. Right, because it's just beating you up all the time, and then you get overwhelmed and you get exhausted, and then it tells you there's something wrong with you for being overwhelmed and exhausted. So it's, you know, it's going to be critical to break that cycle. Because it, the thing about it is, and I know you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, that process is never going to lead anywhere else.
Yeah.
If you don't do the practice, you're never going to wind up anywhere other than overwhelmed and exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, and what it really made me do is, I mean, I just can't believe that I forgot to do these things the last couple weeks that I normally would, you know, never forget to do. And I mean, I'm just so glad I remembered to call in tonight and that I actually did it, because of course there was all this resistance to that. But
yeah,
you know, even though I am making the tapes, there's I even have on this one tape that I'm being told right now that I'm not doing it right as I make this tape. You know, I actually, you know, have that on the tape, and then I just keep going on for another 15 minutes, and they identify while I'm on the tape.
Yes, very good. Very
yeah.
good. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
well, and the thing that we have to remember is this is all practice.
Yeah.
Right? This is what happens to us. This is what we fall for. This, you know, and then we wake up again and, you know, get back on the horse. But just for the record, it is too much to work full time, to be a parent, to you're baking.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, just, and I say that to you know, for the part who is constantly being told that she should be able to do all of this stuff and, you know, be the old, you're not old enough for this, but, you know, the old sitcoms where, you know, and there you are in your apron with, you know, you've baked all this stuff for the entire neighborhood and the kids are all shiny, squeaky clean and happy and everybody's laughing and the house is sparkling and, yeah, okay. That's not us.
Yeah.
So to comfort that person with, you know, you're working really hard, you're doing a great job. Yeah, it's hard. What you're doing is really, 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 really hard. So thank you for doing it, and congratulations for doing the great job that you're doing. And I hear you, and this is the life we have.
Yeah, and I just wanted to connect with practice because I can see myself, you know, getting talked into not doing the practice.
Oh,
so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, it's part of my commitment to call every 6 weeks. And I think last week was 6 weeks. And so I didn't call, you know, last week. And so I forgot to call last week. And so, you know.
So here's my encouragement. Get some long streamers and hang them from the ceiling. And put on them what the things are that you're committed to.
Mm.
So it sounds like a facilitator call and a reflective listening buddies call and the radio show and whatever else it is that you're committed to. Put your sign on the streamer. Hang it where you have to walk through it to get to wherever you're going.
Mm.
Every time
yeah.
you walk through it, you train yourself to look and see. Is that today? Is that today? What time is that this is? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually today is I put the stuff on my Google Calendar. I have a Google Calendar, so it's on my computer, so I have to look at it every day. So I'm hoping
mm-hmm.
that way I'll remember. But I like that idea. I actually read your you know, your book. I think it's Transform Your Life with the quotes every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe I could put it in that because I look at the
quotes. Yep, put post-its on the pages when it comes up. Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. We cannot trust ourselves to be left alone with conditioned mind.
No, I mean it's just
like, you know, you wouldn't leave your child with a maniac. So don't leave yourself with one.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
and
just,
that's what self-hate is.
It is, and it's just, you know, I just get so wrapped up in this other stuff and find it so hard to detach myself from it because there's this belief that I have to finish, you know, this project before I can leave work, and I drop it because I actually leave when I'm not in the middle, when I'm not done with it, but,
yeah.
You know, I can just see, you know, how compelling it is. It's basically like an addiction, you know.
If you've got Google Calendar set to put timers on your phone, okay, when the bell rings, you say, oh, I'm a monk. The bell rang. I need to put my things away and go to my next thing.
Yeah, I'm really trying to do that, actually, you know, really moving to the next thing. And, you know, I am. And I just
set the bell, though. Set the bell.
Yeah, set the bell on the phone.
Yep. Set the bell to go off at the time that you're ready to transition. And then that will say to you, I'm training like a monk. The bell rang. It's time to drop what I'm doing and go to the next thing.
I see what you're saying. Actually, I have a watch where I could have 8 alarms, so I could actually do that.
There you go.
Too.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then you pick up put your earbuds in and listen to the recording that says it's really important to leave on time, to not fall into that addiction, to do one more thing. That's how I get overwhelmed and get miserable.
Yeah, and I have this process called urgency that I've recorded, and I think I could make another one, actually.
Yep.
Kind of
yep.
Along what we were just saying right now.
Uh-huh. This is good.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to connect and check in and basically just keep my commitment.
Yep. Keeping our commitments, that's the secret to the whole thing.
Yeah, because I really see how let down I am when I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you get talked out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then that's basically, I guess, what I've been seeing is how I've either been talked out of it or how I've just totally been bludgeoned over the head and forgotten my commitments. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, very good.
Yeah, gassho.
Gassho to you. Take care.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's a couple minutes before 6:00.
You know, I just want to say that thing with Transform Your Life, that's a very, I've never thought about that or, you know, but that's a great reminder system. You do that every day. You put your post-its on the day that the thing is going to happen that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you put a, that could be a very fun practice for it.
Yeah.
I think I'll do it. I'll remember to do the radio show.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
That'd be a good idea, huh?
It's a great idea. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mention that to Andrea, that I almost didn't make it to the radio show. We all can forget.
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sherry, would you like to talk to another caller for a couple
sure.
of
minutes? Yeah, if we have time, sure.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Jodine from California.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, things are going really well. And I'll just have a really quick check-in because I know there's only a couple of minutes. I want to report back on homework that Melinda gave me back in August.
Woo!
And link it up to the recent reading from Trying to Be Human that the sitting groups or the discussion groups are doing called Don't Wait.
Uh-huh.
So I got this guidance from Melinda that conditioning had kind of taken over my morning and was getting me in a conversation every day about, do we need to meditate this morning?
Ah, yes, that conversation. I bet we all know that one well.
Right. And the guidance was, do like we do at the monastery, set yourself a schedule ahead of time and stick to it.
Uh-huh.
Very simple, very clear guidance. Well, I didn't do it right away. And conditioning got me into this thing. This is so funny because it enlisted a subpersonality of mine, a couple subpersonalities that like to take data about what I do. So conditioning had me like writing down when I was meditating, like after the fact, like recording the data and like convincing me, oh, your schedule's not regular, so this can't possibly work for you. Oh, and I fell for it. But I saw through that, and I said, I want to take this guidance. And I used the 30-day retreat for making a change for good. And my commitment was simply to write a schedule out ahead of time for any given day. And there was no other requirement. I could do it at 10 o'clock the night before was fine. You know, it didn't have to be like on Sunday I sat down and mapped out my whole week, which was what conditioning was kind of requiring me to do.
Or your whole month.
I mean, anything that would be impossible basically was what was required.
Yes.
And I had such a transformative month. I cannot speak more highly of this schedule thing.
Great.
I just had these realizations, like, everything on that schedule is there to support my health and well-being, and I can relax and enjoy it while it's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't enjoying my yoga. I wasn't enjoying my meditation. It was, it somehow had stolen it from me.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
and also,
all of the things that turned all of the things that you wanted to do into things that you should do, and then kept you from doing them.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the recording, I have to say, the recording practice in the new book is really helping here, and I now have a recording about why I'm committed to the schedule. That I play first thing. And one of my reminders is, if I follow the schedule exactly, I don't need to be in conversation with egocentric arm conditioning.
Ooh, that is very good. That is an incentive to follow the schedule exactly, isn't it? And an incentive to be sure to make one the night before for the next day.
Yeah.
I don't have to have those conversations. My God, I'd do almost anything to get that result. That's great. That is really good.
So, thanks very much. And I finished that 30-day retreat. I had a party, and I rolled right over the next day into a new 30-day retreat where I'm doing the daily practice in the back of a new book for 30 days.
Excellent. You don't have to have any of those conversations with karmic conditioning.
Right. And it's on my schedule when to do it.
That is so inspiring. That is really that's good. I like it, and I'm going to incorporate that. Somebody, I know we have to go, but somebody was telling me about making an appointment with her, very much what you're describing, making an appointment in the evening to do all of the planning for the next day, and then recording that, and then listening to that first thing in the morning. And then, of course, I the part that I want to add is, keeping commitments and following the schedule means I don't have to have any of those kinds of conversations with conditioned mind. So, very
it's
good.
It's liberating.
It's so liberating and so relaxing. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'm so glad I got on.
Me too.
Okay,
good
happy
night.
Holidays. I hope to see you at Santa Sabina.
Excellent. See you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank
some
Michael.
More new practices.
Yeah. I can just see, I bet Awareness Junkie Man is over there just creating systems and templates and, this is good stuff.
Yes, everybody listening, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Michael.
Good night.
Good night.